This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
Good afternoon, family and friends, and thank you for joining us this afternoon. And we are so privileged to have you in the studio with us this afternoon. And I just want to remind you that I'm Renette Myburg, and my program's called Rise. And yes, please interact with us. We are on WhatsApp, 081-729-1657, and our telegram number is exactly the same, and our SMS number is 37988, and please go and join us on Facebook today. We have a very special guest in the studio with us today, so go and have a look, and then you get to see who we are interviewing, and you get to interact with us, and just be part of the this next hour with us. And there's a counseling department, and I really want to encourage you. You're welcome to use it. It is 021-9177-000, and it's option one. But today we have Anton Lekrantse in our studios with us. He's all the way from the Strand, but he's actually from all over the world at the moment. I'm just listening to him now. He's just like been all over, and praise the Lord for that. And we are so privileged to have Anton. Anton is the founder of Remnant Ministries, and he was born in Klerksdorp, and he was really called for a time from a very young age to be a minister and to go around. He was actually called to be a voice for the nations, and right. He has a powerful testimony and a powerful ministry that is so encouraging. And this is what we are going to really discuss this afternoon, is how do we, you know, there is going to be such an outpouring of the Holy Spirit on the remnant. And this is where we need to understand that when we are chosen, and the time of the remnant.
Right.
And we are going to really speak into that this afternoon. So welcome, and thank you for joining us this
afternoon. Thank you, Renee. Thank you so much.
I'm so excited. I'm really smiling.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm overexcited.
Yeah.
Praise
so
God.
Right now, but we're going to first listen to Casting Crowns called Only Jesus. And let us enjoy this, because when we get back, you are just going to be blown away by this interview, and you are going to be so encouraged, and you are going to just know who we are supposed to be in these times. And even though things doesn't look great, but it's great. So we need to know. It's exciting times that we are living in. But we're going to listen to Only Jesus by Casting Crowns. Good afternoon, and thank you for being with us this afternoon. And yes, please join us on Facebook. I'm telling you now, we have got such a special guest in the studio with us today, and we are really going to have a very exciting, very powerful Holy Spirit hour. And today we have Pastor Anton Lekrantse from the Strand. He's now from staying in the Strand, but he's been in all over the USA and spent 4 years there ministering. And he's got a beautiful wife called Colette and beautiful kids, Ivan and Shanika, and they are such a beautiful family and so dedicated to spreading the gospel. And they've just traveled extensively now. So thank you so much for joining us this afternoon and giving a bit of your time.
Thank you.
Such a privilege.
Thank you,
such
Renee.
A privilege. And he is the founder of Remnant Ministries. And this is where he has been called to be a voice for the nations. So, Anton, just give us an idea of what did the Lord reveal to you from this journey of your, you know, starting the Remnant Ministries. What does that say?
I think right from the start, I think we can all agree that the world has been turned around upside down.
Yes.
Completely. Mm. And when we talk about remnant by itself, I think number one, it comes from in our hearts. It comes from a time that we've seen the world falling apart.
Yes.
I think one of the biggest things that nobody ever expected, we don't even want to talk about that today, even wherever, it's about the pandemic and COVID-19 and everything that happened, and we've seen the effect that it had on the people and on the Church of God. Prior to the pandemic, the Lord really started to talk to us about the remnant. And I was doing studies about it and really felt how the Holy Spirit was leading us into the study of what the remnant really is. Come to find, remnant is a small group of people that stays faithful with God.
Amen.
Remnant is, by its meaning, it comes down to very simple people who have made it. But it's people with scars. And if you look at today, if you look at a remnant, you see that it is people who has come through a very bad time. People who has come through times in their lives that they have lost basically everything. People who have been through stuff that really carry the scars, you know, on their bodies today.
Yes.
And I think in that very specific time where God starts speaking to us about the remnant, you know, from history in church, remnant, if we say people with scars, people that doesn't look like church, people that doesn't smell like church, people that doesn't, you know, do the regular church,
yes,
they have never been welcomed in the church. I'm talking about the average, right?
Yes.
I'm not talking particularly on a group of churches today. But that's what we've seen. And I believe that God is raising up a remnant today to be that move of God that's going to be faceless.
Sure.
But people with scars. Because people with scars eventually brings and walks in their testimony. Mm-hmm. You know, when David walked, well, let me rewind. When David was laying on the backside of the mountain, looking at the sheep, looking at the after the cattle of his, you know, after his dad and everything, there was this war cry on the other side of the mountain of this Goliath. And inside of David was already downloaded the day when God anointed him. In him was downloaded a heart of a king. Somebody that can orchestrate a war, somebody that can see ahead, look ahead and know what to do and got all these plans. And David, I think in that time, he was so frustrated because he didn't do what he was called
exactly
to do, right?
Well, don't
he wasn't, he wasn't doing what he was called to do. And he ran to his dad and he says, "Dad, don't you think it's a good idea that I go bring my brother some bread and milk?" And he says, "That's a fine idea. Go and do it." So David got that very simple excuse. And he got right in the middle of this war ground. And the very first thing that his brothers was asking him is, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "But forget about what I'm doing here. Who's this guy? Who's this Goliath? Who's this guy that is challenging the people of God and nobody's doing anything?" Mm-hmm. Because in David, he has been almost destroyed mm-hmm. by a lion and a bear.
That's right.
And this was the very first thing that his brothers were saying, "But you cannot be here. You're not qualified to be here. You're not supposed to be here." And David, I see this in pictures, and I see how he rolled up his sleeves and he was showing them, "Look at my scars." And that actually brought him to a place of qualification. The scars on David's body was the very thing that gave him a place to stand. Because in that moment when David said, "Look at my scars," he mentioned and he says, "This is where the lion attacked me. This is the proof. This is the evidence that I have overcome this lion." And he rolled up his left one and he showed him the marks of the bear, you know. And in that, they said, "Okay, let's show us what you got." And I believe that is the remnant. Revelation speaks about it and he says that to overcome today, the complete victory in the church lies in the testimonies and by the power of the blood of the Lamb. And people without scars, they don't have testimonies.
Don't have a point of reference.
They don't have nothing. They don't have nothing. So come to the remnant. I truly believe that God is raising up a church that's got scars, people that will look different. I believe, listen, I truly believe that the church from today, the church of tomorrow is going to look different than the church of yesterday. They're going to look different. They're going to act different. They're going to talk different because they got these testimonies. They've got scars. They've got the proof of the pudding, you know, that they've been through certain things. And looking at today, 2024, we're looking at a few years later after the pandemic and everything. Now we see people have made it. People have made it. People in their faith has made it. Their businesses has made it. Their marriages has made it. Their children have made it. And we can go back into so many deeper places on that topic. But just to understand that the remnant is the people that God is raising up in this hour that will take a stand, that won't be scared. Come on.
Won't be afraid.
They won't be afraid because yes. They're not afraid of going to jail. They're not afraid of whatever because they got scars.
They've been there.
Mm. They've been there. You know what? And there's a scripture that God was actually giving us. Isaiah 37:31, and he says this: the surviving remnant of the house of Judah will again take root downward and bear fruit upward.
Listen to this.
He says the house of the house of Judah will take root downward. In other words, that the remnant will not be shaken this round.
Mm.
Come on, I truly believe that we're in an hour where things are going to get tough. We're probably going to talk about that a little bit later, but things are going to get tough, but the remnant are going to be unshakable. We got to be unshakable because the word of God says that this remnant, this surviving remnant, is going to take root downward. Nothing's going to shake us. Nothing's going to move us. Our faith is going to stand. Doesn't matter where we are. Doesn't matter what you face, because our faith is bigger than the pandemic. Our faith is bigger than the trouble that we faced.
Mm-hmm.
Our faith is bigger. It's rooted. Come on. It's rooted. And we've seen it. Come on, Renate. We've seen it, that the church has become so, I must say this with all due respect, but I'm talking about the man's church. Let's phrase it that way. Man's church has become so plastic and so weak. But God's church is supposed to rise up in this hour where the church will start bearing fruit again.
Yes.
Come on, that where we lay hands on the sick, that they shall be healed. That where we see the miracles of God, the miraculous of God, through our hands and through our prophecies. Because this is the hour where the world outside is waiting. Come on, Paul was saying this in Romans 8:19. He says that the whole of the creation is waiting expectantly for the revelation of the true sons of God.
Amen.
This is none other than the remnant of God, where the church is ready to arise.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, this is not going to be another move of God. This is going to be a takeover.
Sure.
This is going to be a takeover where we're going to see how the remnant of God, the true sons of God, are going to start walking into their power that God has given us, where Jesus has entrusted us with. And I believe that now we will see things getting established. We're going to see how things are, how the work is going to get done this round. And we're going to see how we will unroot the bad and that we will expose, come on, the plan of the enemy. This is where we need to go. We need to be a church that will see what the enemy's planned, and that we will unroot that. Come on. How many people even listening right now to this program would have a desire that the church will start unveiling the plan of the enemy, revealing, come on, the plan of the enemy.
Plan.
Which whatever the enemy is planning for our schools, our kids, our government, that the remnant will start see this, that this is what the enemy is going to do, and that we would be prepared for acting accordingly and walking into that power that God has given the church to be the remnant of God.
Yes, and amen. And this is where I really feel that, as you were saying, that there's going to be so much being, it's going to look as though it's topsy-turvy.
Oops,
but it has to happen that way, so that the all the evil can be exposed.
Yes,
and it's going to be absolutely in all areas of life. It's going to be in the church, in
and
in
this
government,
is the hour we need it most.
We need it to be. It looks as though the world is falling apart, but it's falling into place.
But God,
and it's falling into place.
But God, God's going to do something extraordinary outside the paradigm of man, and I believe that we're going to see a move of God that will blow the minds.
Absolutely incredible. So we're going to carry on with this and get into this amazing topic that we are in now. And we're going to go and play out with Bethany Dillon, Everyone to Know. And isn't this such an apt song that we need to know who we are in Christ in these times? So I want to encourage you to just join us on Facebook. If you've just joined us now, we have a Holy Spirit powerful hour here now. And please come and join us straight after Everyone to Know by Bethany Dillon. And thank you for staying tuned with us this afternoon. And I am just, my whole spirit is just bouncing away and leaping just with amazing message that we have. We have Anton LeCrancy in the studio with us from Remnant Ministries, and he's traveled extensively throughout the world, and he is just sharing with us what are we, can we expect for 2024, and who are we as body of Christ going to be,
right,
and what can we be expecting?
Come on.
So come share with us. I'm so excited to
hear. I think, you know what, I think that 2024, a lot of people might say, you know what, it's just like any other year. Like 23 was and 22 was, and what is so significant about 24? What's going to be different? What's going to be so significant about this? And I want to say this, that right from the start, that I'm not a person that comes to, you know, anywhere prophesy cars, prophesy houses, you know, and a lot of people want you to prophesy that. And they want to know, people want to know today in their lives personally, they want to know the good that's going to happen to them. Nobody wants to know about the bad, you know. That's always just like that. I'm sorry. But looking at 24, when the year started, I was really looking into it. And I heard so many prophets, so many people, so many churches, they've been talking about 24, the year of the open door. Yes. We heard that message all across the world. And I agree with that. I agree with that, because if you're looking at the Hebrew letter of the number 4, we see that it's the number, the word dalet in the Hebrew, which means open doors. So obviously God is in numbers. God has an interest in numbers. He's interested in the time that we are in right now. And I do believe that 2024 for people is going to be a year of open doors. So come on, I just want to, on the airwaves right now, I want to even say this. The word of God says in Job 22:28, whatever you shall decide and decree, it shall be established for you. And I want to use that opportunity right from the start and talk over the airwaves and say to the people, our listeners right now, that 2024, let that be your year of the open door. People who are looking for opportunities, an open door, a new thing and whatever, let this, come on, I want to prophesy it over them,
yes,
that
Lord,
this would be the year of
Lord,
open doors.
Yes,
in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. But deeper than that, God was really talking to me about very specific things for the year of 24. And one of the things that I heard was this, is that it's not going to be an easy year. It's not going to be an easy year. And, you know, normally when you hear something like that, I mean, all your alarm systems goes off. Mm-hmm. And I said, but what is this? And I heard the voice of God saying that 2024 is not going to be the easiest year you've ever been in. But for the church, this is going to be the best year ever.
For real.
It's not going to be the most easiest year ever that we had before, because there's a lot of things. There's a lot of things happening around the world. There's a lot of things in South Africa that we are facing, that we are struggling with. Me coming from different places across the world, and in particular America, we see that it's the same devil. It's the same spirit that's even there counterfeiting whatever God wants to do. And we see that same spirit operating today in South Africa. And 2024, I want to tell the people today that it's not going to be easy, because I believe in 24, our hands are going to be tied even more than in the natural. In the natural, listen, it's in the natural. Our hands are going to be tied. We'll be able to do things the way that we used to do it. There will things that will become extremely difficult financially. I believe even spiritually, people will become even more hopeless in this coming year. We're gonna need a move of God that will rip the church out of the hand of the enemy. We need the move of God that will snatch the remnant of God out of the hands of the enemy, and making the church a powerful movement where we can see again the miraculous coming to town. Seeing God doing the miraculous in our midst. I'm not talking about going to church on a Sunday morning and see a miracle. I'm talking about a move of God where we would see the miraculous in the pick and pace, in the spars, in the checkers, on the pavements of the streets, that we would see this outside the four walls of church buildings, seeing a move of God, but that we would start moving into that. Okay, start moving into that. So looking at 24, I do believe that, yes, it's going to be difficult. But into that, I was searching for the number 4. And you know what, Renee, that if you're looking at the numbers from 1 right through to 0, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, it's only the number 4 that doesn't have a prophetic significance. Look at that.
That's interesting.
The number 4 is the only one that doesn't really have a prophetic significance, except for the Hebrew letter, the dalet word, that speaks about open doors. There's no prophetic meaning into the number 4 that we can say this is what 4 means. And God was taking me to the scripture of John chapter number 11. And this was in particular the scripture where Lazarus got ill. He got sick in chapter 11. And now the word of God says this. Now a certain man called Lazarus was ill, and he was of Bethany, and he was from this village where Mary and Martha, his sister, lived. And I heard, when I was listening to the Holy Spirit in that hour, I heard that accusation coming from the sister that said, "Lord, if you have been here in time, my brother would have not been dead by now. But because you are 4 days late, he's dead. Because you have been late and coming here and raising him up from his illness, now we're sitting with a situation that he died." So looking at just that, God was showing me in particular that the number 4 doesn't need to have that very particular a meaning, you know, a prophetic meaning. But what it relates to was the 4th day miracles.
Yes.
This is, I think, where we are stepping in.
Very profound.
That we're going to see in South Africa, come on, I'm talking about my fellow citizens. I'm talking about church members. I'm talking about people who have lost hope, that is in a situation right now even of difficulties, where you look at your situation and you think it's too late. You think it's over. You think it's over. Come on. When she said to the Lord, "You are late," He was still on time.
Amen.
He was still on time. And this is what I believe God is telling us in this hour, that it doesn't matter what it looks like at the moment. It doesn't matter how far the political arena has pushed us back. It doesn't matter economically in what situation you might find yourself. It doesn't matter how much you've lost. It doesn't matter how far your children has been ripped away from the salvation that God has promised you. It doesn't matter anything of that. What matters is that God's not late, and 24 is not late.
Amen.
24, we're going to see the miracles. 24, we're going to see not just the ordinary miracles, but the ones that says it's the fourth day miracle.
Amen.
Where people's faith are going to be shaken to the bone. Listen, the Jews was limited in their faith by trusting God only up to the third day, because all the preaching, all the teachings was only about the third day, nothing more than that. So when Lazarus died on the night of the third day, hope was lost, because that was the only time that God could have done a miracle.
Yes.
But I want to tell people listening to this message right now is that God's not late. He didn't forget about South Africa. He didn't forget about your children. He didn't forget about your marriage. God is not late, and 24 is going to produce a fourth day miracle for us.
Yeah, and amen.
Come
wow,
on, in Jesus'
on,
name.
In Jesus' name. Thank you for that powerful word, and it just gives us so much hope. I just want you to stay with us, because I cannot believe how the time just went. But we are going
so
to
quickly.
Just go, and we're just going to stand on this word right now and really relish it and eat it up. That's how the Lord's just showing me. Just take it, eat, and really absorb what this encouragement is for all, each and every one of us that's feeling not stressed but stretched in these times. So I ask you that just stay with us. We're going to listen to Charlene David's Can You Believe, the beautiful song called Stand, and it's exactly what
Hallelujah.
What we were just talking about, that we are going to be able to stand in 2024. So
Come on. Let us
enjoy Charlene David's. And that was Charlene David's with Stand. And yes, Lord, we are so absolutely privileged to be able to stand on your word. And we've just got such an incredible guest in the studio today. I cannot tell you where I'm actually not even feeling as I'm here. The Holy Spirit is just...
It's all over this place.
All over this place. It's rocking away. And we are so privileged to have you with us today, Auntie.
Thank you so much,
Renate. You know, he's been pastoring all over the world from a young age, but he's just got such... He's just got this voice of wisdom, just such encouragement for 2024. But he was just sharing that there's going to come an incredible anointing in this time. But I'm not going to take another second. Please just share with us.
I think when we say that anointing, I think first of all, we just have to clarify.
Yes.
Because a lot of people listening to us right now, you might heard the term anointing. You might have read it in your word, in your Bible, about the anointing, but you don't really know what the anointing is. And I'm just going to say what the Word of God teaches us about it, and then I'm going to jump into a scripture, and I hope that we can wrap it up in time. So number one, Jesus talks to his disciples in Matthew 16, and he says, who does the people say I am? Peter, crying out with this shouting, and for the first time, I mean, he's been expecting the Messiah, right?
Yes.
He's been expecting the Christ. And he heard this voice from the Father saying, this is the Christ standing in front of you. And with all that amazement, I mean, Peter was shouting it out, and he says, you are the Christ. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And in one sentence, he realized that all of his years, he's been waiting for the Messiah, the appearing of the Messiah, and here he is right in front of you. Jesus says, okay, Simon Peter, I'm not going to call you this anymore, because now I'm going to call you Simon Peter, because on this rock I'm going to build my church. He did not mean that he's going to build the church on Peter, because Peter died, the church still goes on. But what Jesus meant was that he's going to build the church on the revelation of who we understand who he is. That means the Christ. Because the Christ in the Greek is Christos, which means the anointed one and his anointing. He's not the oil. He's not that. He is the tree himself, the olive tree himself that produces the oil.
Yes.
He's the one that produces the oil. He's the well of the oil. So today we use oil. Yes, we use oil as a symbol when we anoint people, when we pray for people, and whatever we do with this oil, it's a symbol of the anointing. But one more scripture. That scripture of Matthew 16 refers to Christ, the anointed one, and his anointing. But that still doesn't tell me what the anointing is. It says who it is. In 1 John 2:27, there's another scripture that says the anointing that you've received from him abides permanently on the inside of you. That word anointing is a different word from the word Christos. It's the word chrisma. This word is meaning, it's the continuous endowment of Holy Spirit power.
Sure.
I'm going to say it again. It's the continuous endowment of Holy Spirit power. That's what the word anointing means. Now, when we refer to the day of Lazarus, it was the fourth day Jesus got in the midst of the family. And the first accusation that got to him is, you 4 days late. You 4 days late. According to Jesus, he's not late because he's the resurrection himself. He's the one that resurrected the dead. Okay, so the typical person that you're not inviting to any funeral.
Yeah, no.
Just on a joke side. Right. Okay, but listen to what the Word of God says in John 11. He says, there was a certain man called Lazarus. He was ill. He was from Bethany, a village from where Mary and Martha, his sister, lived. This Mary, verse number 2, the word in particular highlights this. And he says, this Mary, she was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Jesus is trying to tell us something here in the scriptures, because he's highlighting Mary, number one, and he mentioned this and he says, it's her that anointed me. So looking at that, we all know that Mary wasn't the very best person. She was not allowed to the meeting. And there was the scribes. It was Judas. It was Lazarus and everybody in that meeting. She went beforehand and she got a one-year salary. So let's call it, let's say 300,000 rand. Mm. She went and bought this perfume. And she got it to the door. She broke the seal on the door. She made entrance to this premise. She ran to Jesus, smashed the jar of oil onto his feet. And then all the demons and devils started manifesting, Judas in particular. And he said, we could have sold this, whatever. And you know the whole story about what Judas said. But then Jesus got up on his feet and he quieted him down. And he says, she has done a noble thing. She has anointed my body and prepared my body for burial. So what she did, she came with the oil. I want you to see the physical oil that we running around with these little bottles. Okay, she came with the oil. She smashed it, but then she starts smearing the body of Jesus. So she made contact with Jesus with oil, with his body. And Jesus said, she prepared my body. What was Jesus actually telling us there? She has anointed my body. What is the anointing? We said it, 1 John 2:27. It's the continuous endowment of Holy Spirit power.
That's right.
So what Mary did is she continued with this process of adding oil and oil and oil and oil and more oil to the body of Jesus so that his body can make a comeback. Did you hear that?
Yes.
So that his body can make a comeback. It doesn't matter what he's going to go through. He's going to make it. Prophetically, Jesus was saying this. He says, she anointed me and she has done a noble thing and she has prepared my body now for this burial. So the anointing that we are talking about is the manifesting power of God, but it's also the continuous endowment of Holy Spirit power that comes into us and that sustains us. It doesn't matter what we're going through.
Yes, Lord.
This is now where we're going to go. So looking at Lazarus, Jesus got accused by, you 4 days late. Jesus was never late because he had Mary on the other end that understood the anointing. She knew what she was doing when she anointed Jesus. So why would she not anoint Lazarus? And the question is, did she do it? Yes, my money's on Mary. She anointed Lazarus because when Jesus called out, Lazarus come forth, he came out with his death robes. He was wrapped around. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why he would be wrapped around with this clothes was because he was embalmed, because he was prepared. And his body made a comeback. His body went through all the changes. But all of a sudden, when Jesus called him, he was healed on the inside and out. This is what we need in this hour is the four-day miracles.
Yes.
Is the anointing that enables the church in this hour, Renee, so that we can move into 24 and see the four-day miracles all around us.
Yes.
We need the anointing more than ever. We don't need another sermon. We don't need more worship leaders. We need a move of God. We need an outpouring of the Holy Ghost power upon us.
Amen.
We need the anointing. Let's all say that. We need the anointing upon the church. We need him. We need the continuous endowment of Holy Spirit power. Wherever you are, right where you are in your house, you can ask, Lord, anoint me. He will anoint you. Lord, prepare me. He will prepare you. For 24, prepare me, Father, that I can be sustained in me, in my life, in my body, in my life, with my children, in my marriage, and everybody, so that I can stood up against every devil that can come against me in 24. Because the word says, when Jesus said that, you understand the anointing, he said, no weapon form, no, he said, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against you.
Amen. Amen.
Wow, hallelujah. It was a mouthful. But just so that we know, the anointing
is so precious. Amen.
And we need the anointing.
How do we get hold of you?
On social media, you can find us on Facebook, Anton Colette LaGrange, or you can go find us on Remnant Family Church.
Amen.
Remnant Family Church. We do have a cell phone number if we allow
Please
to give
you,
it on over the air. If you can grab a pen or your cell phone and just punch it in quickly, 071-687-7947. 071-687-7947.
And if you don't get it, watch our Facebook again. The podcast will be there, as well as the podcast on our app. Please download our app. It is the best way to listen to any of our programs. So please download the 729 AM app. Okay, family and friends, what an ending of this beautiful day. Thank you so much, Anton.
Thank you,
Renee. Been such a blessing to us.
Thank you
and
so
may
much.
The Lord just continuously use you mightily for his glory and for his kingdom.
Thank
and
you.
And this word goes around and ignites and excites and encourages everyone hearing it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you again.
And family and friends, thank you for being with us. I hope you're going to catch up with us somewhere along the line. Please stick to the rules. Be good. And we'll see you next time, next week, same time, same place. Goodbye.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.